Welcome to the Bridging Success Podcast. I'm Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants, where we solve challenging technology issues for growing businesses. We are the leading customer-focused, community-involved expert technology consultants. Welcome to Bridging Success, the podcast where top B2B CEOs and executives share their insights, challenges, and game-changing strategies that drive innovation and business growth. I'm your host, Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants. Each episode, we spotlight visionary leaders shaping the future, diving into critical decisions, leadership philosophies, and breakthrough moments that have propelled them to success. On this episode, I'm excited to welcome Richard Blank, president and CEO of Costa Rica's Call Center. Richard, welcome to the show.
Oh, very happy to be with you and your audience today.
Great. So let's jump in. Can you just share your story with me behind what inspired you to move to Costa Rica so many years ago and start this venture?
Oh, didn't you ever see Gilligan's Island? We all wanted to live there at one time. So I had the one in a million opportunity to move to paradise. Moved here 25 years ago. And 18 years ago is when I threw my hat in the ring and started this business. So it's been a good run. But I tell you, it was built on momentum. Spanish was my major in college. So I was at an advanced level. So when I came here, it really, instead of being became more of a home court advantage in a sense.
That's great. A history of Spanish and a love of Gilligan's Island is what I heard, right?
Pretty much. It gives you some bold moves. But I tell you what, when I did come down here, Bo, I did work at my friend's center for a number of years. I learned the business from the inside out, not at sea level. And when you spend time with the people, as much you and I can crack some codes with AI technology visionaries, sometimes it's about the foundation. And I still believe in the art of speech. And I think call centers are environments for individuals, especially English second language, to really have some breakthroughs and grow. And so today, yes, things are filled out by chat and email and other forms of omnichannel non-voice and texting. But I tell you what, somebody like yourself and me who take their time to listen and give a proper delivery and make friends the old-fashioned way, those are the ones that have staying power. Those are the ones that can go the distance.
That's great. So I'm doing some research for this podcast. I can't help but ask you about the gamification culture at Costa Rica Call Center and how that led you to have the largest collection of pinball machines and jukeboxes, you said?
I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and the arcade was the coolest place to be. Now, I don't know about you. Asteroids, I could play a game for 45 minutes on a quarter, but a pinball machine, which was sometimes 50 cents, yeah, it's the luck of the machine. That game could be done in a minute. It was just a beautiful piece of artwork that a lot of times you'd watch the older people play. And I tell you what, Ricky Schroeder had a great arcade in Silver Spoons. And we all dreamed about having something like that. And when you have disposable income, you have the space, and you're willing to die on that hill with your wife, you start going and collect. But here's the thing, my man. One man's trash is another man's treasure. I'm not picking every game up. I was very selective. And so air hockey tables and certain fighting and gun machines. But the pinball, these people were giving them away. They're 40 years old. So naturally behind the marquee, some of the CPUs and circuits and stuff, they're corroded or burnt out. And there's specialist shops that you can order replacement parts. So for up to $500 to $1,000, the machine's working again. And so you start collecting these classic beauties, you restore them. And just for your audience, my favorite decade's the 1970s. I love the electromechanical machines. They're easiest to work on because there's just contacts. But oh, the play field, it was the last decade of the painted wood. After that, it was the laminates and the stickers. And remember the old marquee and the side art? Plus you get the bells and easier targets to hit. So for me, I'm a super old retro pinball machine collector.
So do you work on any of those yourself, or do you farm out all of the repairs and upkeep to them?
It's an excellent question, but I tell you what, it's like people that can change a tire or maybe their oil. I learned that. And there's certain replacement parts I know what to get and then putting it in. But when it comes to the heavy lifting, I have a couple people here that are just experts in electronics and even in these games themselves. And yes, most of the time I'll call them in. I'll be watching them, not to grill, to learn. I got to know what to do. And, but what a passion. How fun. And it's, remember Archie Bunker and all the family and people would get around the piano and sing. When you have friends come over, they're hanging around the pinball machines and laughing and having a good time. And there's nothing better, Bo, than playing with your friends. It's the best times you can have.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if I heard you right, you can change the tires, but you leave the transmission and the engine work up to the experts, right?
That's true. Or unless if it's just something that is totaled, you just buy it for $300 and just put it in and get a new one. It doesn't have to be from 1977. Seriously, what's wrong with you?
And so, like computer repair.
Yeah. So let's just be smart. But it is a passion. And when you meet another collector, I got a buddy of mine out in Tempe, Arizona, Mike, that owns Starfighters Arcade with his wife Kath, and he's an incredible collector, and he has the passion, and God bless him, the fact that he continues to purchase these machines and loves them so much. And I tell you what, when people visit Costa Rica, I'm all over the place, so I'll get phone calls from people that want to come to the call center and play a few games. Absolutely. Definitely come by. And so I make a lot of friends that way too.
Yeah, let's do it. So do you have an Addams Family unit? It's one of my favorites.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I played it a bunch of times. There's one up for sale. They're asking $6,000 for it, but a friend of mine has one too. But what a wonderful, and it's a fun machine.
Yeah. Yep. Not the old painted board style, but it's super fun. So let's move on from pinballs. Tell me, you've been in the industry a while, and I was looking on your website. I saw the list of technologies that y'all use in the call centers. How has technology shifted from when you first moved there, working with your friend's call center, to now? You know, what does it take to support a call center? What kind of exciting technologies are y'all using?
Depends on what side you're looking at. If you're the owner of the company, it's very exciting. I get to monitor the work. If you're on the flip side, it almost feels like walking down the street and there's 1,000 cameras on you. And so it's very difficult for the agent to shave time. On the flip side, it makes you better if you are a professional and you want to work hard. And so what it's done was it definitely increased productivity, but it forces people to go 15 rounds. A lot of people would coast during a day where they just slide in every hour and make minimum amounts to hit the metrics, and they'll make their, but that's not the point. It's like a batting cage now. And so when someone logs into a predictive dialer, if they're in ready status, there's multiple lines dialing, it's coming in. So there's no fatigue, misdial, or waiting in between making your phone calls like you did when you first got here. And that's changed. Secondly, you have a QA department, and especially AI now, it's going to break down people's soft skills, especially their empathy, regardless if they're asking the right questions, Bo, to qualify you and your account. They want to make sure that people are still having that sort of connection, because most people just check through a list, don't listen. They hedge, they'll give answers like, okay, or wonderful, when it's really not that great. And for me, Bo, I like to teach the 30-second checkpoints. I like when people take breaths and bites and sips and let you digest it for a minute. And then there's also, like a boxer, you can't always just punch the whole time. There is size, strength, and strategy of the people that are speaking with you. And so if you put something out there, you may get a positive or a negative reinforcement, which makes you adjust your tone accordingly. What a beautiful art of speech. And so people practice their rhetoric, and we look at certain words to change, like help. We'll put in assist, guide, and lend a hand. Never say I'm sorry, it's both for my clarification. We always use the military alphabet because a lot of people have served them. Sounds really good. And emails don't bounce back. And my favorite tip for the audience, which I don't think AI can ever do because you can't really mask empathy, is the positive escalation. If there's somebody that's the gatekeeper that you get past and you're able to speak to Bo, make sure you mention this individual. Let them know verbally and also in writing. So when you call the company back, you get a hero's welcome. And you need to jump clouds and see this industry and telemarketing almost like romantic deaths. I mean, you're retaining clients, you're trying to assist with customer support, you're prospecting for new business. Sometimes you have the skill set to do sales. So it's not for the faint of heart, but I tell you, if you increase on these characteristics, you'll become one of the greatest listeners and communicators out there. You'll make 1,000 friends. And so I always believe the best jobs are the things that you can take outside of the office, not taking your work home. But I'm saying, if you love it so much, there's dedicated practice. So you become a master at it, you become an expert. And so for me, it's easy. It's like the face man from the A-Team. All I did was watch really cool things on TV and use some of those lines on the phone. My job is at least very interesting for me.
You've mentioned AI a couple of times. What do you think's next for the industry? How do you see it evolving over the next few years?
Oh, the uncanny valley. It's amazing how people would get catfished with really good emails. Wait till you start getting catfished with voices. And what's happening is the timing, the integrated voice response, they're good, but sometimes I got to keep repeating my airport I'm going to. They're still not getting it. People get frustrated and hit zero. So allow them to do the 90% of gathering, almost like these beautiful farmers that really broke their backs back in the day. Now they have machines that can work as 100 men. So you and I should really woo-way it. In essence, we really should. I don't think we should carry anything. We should go with where we go. And then at the end, on the 10-yard line, when it takes the handshake, the smile, and the back slap to make sure that you guys are connected, that's when the human connection comes in. Because the moment that these computers try to replace an individual that is so happy that you are a client or can understand because you've passed a class, failed a class, had a divorce, bought a new house, lost it. It's the kind of thing you really still need that human connection. And so, my industry, yes, will become much more convenient. Entry-level jobs will be eliminated. But some people will be willing to pay an extra dollar to press zero and actually speak with somebody. And it's going to have a comeback, kind of like bell bottoms. People are going to be very sick of non-voice. Some people are always liking that, but some people are going to want to talk to somebody if they're going to spend their hard-earned money. And so a lot of the clients that I have are going to use some of it, but they always want to have a dedicated department of people that will always be there for their clientele.
Yeah, sometimes I would pay much more than a dollar to press zero and speak to a human,
Yes,
especially
I would too.
when you know that that's all you need to cut to the chase. How do you see your team adapting and better meeting your clients' needs? How are they changing? What are they doing to stay up to speed?
They're virtual. Oh, the brick and mortar. You were mentioning the arcade, and thank you. You're talking about the old days. Everyone works from home now. Is it a great thing? It's a wonderful thing. I can stay in business, expand, hire anybody, and the labor pool that they demanded, and they can put up the numbers to back it up. They can, and once again, we have the technology to see that they're working, not being invasive. We can see if they're logged in and answering their emails, phone calls, and they're not missing a beat. The only thing that we're missing is the camaraderie and the synergy. I was talking about pinball, Pac-Man, and air hockey. Yeah, it's how you build a team, but that was before COVID. Today, people just don't want that anymore. Some do, but the majority do not. And instead of trying to force a fit on somebody or promising a client that the labor pool's huge of people that want to drive 45 minutes in traffic and come to my office, I'm not going to do it. I need to adapt. But I tell you, when I used to walk the Rose Bowl, I'd know everybody's name. I would have these amazing training soft skill classes where we'd all get in a circle and it was like an open forum. I knew that they were getting stronger and better. People would fall in love and get married. Some women work through their pregnancy, so there's actually see babies. We celebrated 18 years, man. The anniversary t-shirts, the pizza parties, the bowling parties at Christmas, seeing the kid that was wet behind his ears and green, freshman, having amazing breakthroughs and shedding skin and becoming one of the top producers. And just, I think we've lost that. But CC babies, imagine meeting someone, getting pregnant, working throughout your entire time you're pregnant besides the last month. I walk by every day. I'm like, morning, baby. I don't know me. You know what's cool too? I'd be the first one to go down and tell their parents how great their kids are doing because the average age was 24. Felt like 13th grade. And so a lot of times they're getting picked up by their significant others or parents. And of course, I would go downstairs and compliment Bo to his mother and father and jealous older brother. Just to let him know he's the man. But I just wouldn't say that you're an ace. I would surprise you. I'd say, do you know he did 44 deals last week? You look at me like, how do you know that? You realize he's the top of his crew. Last Wednesday, he crushed them. And also, he's been with us for 9 months already. He's a great kid. And that's when, Bo, you get the knock on your office the next day. And the kid that always said hi to him, was always attentive, actually had the guts to knock on the door, not to complain, but to feel comfortable enough with their boss to get to that level of relationship, to give feedback, to let them know that you paid it forward, or just to say, you're the first boss to ever do something like that. So you get a certain sort of fidelity out of people that you can only get by getting raw, not by just throwing dollars at them. You can do that to anybody. But I've noticed that through the years, my brother. But things have changed a little bit, but I have adapted with it. I still have my smile, but it's, once again, it's not the same as it used to be.
Yeah, it's a long road to walk when people are working remotely.
You miss them.
Yeah.
I break bread with them every day.
Let's shift a little bit to business strategy. What trends are you noticing in your field that are shaping the way you approach the business these days? What are you keeping your ear to the track to listen in from a call center's perspective?
The technology was the biggest challenge for me. That server room was the engine. And so you needed to have the big batteries and the three AC units and the rack and the investment in that equipment, so it doesn't look like spaghetti. But I tell you, we've moved everything into the cloud, which I was very hesitant, and I waited. And I just wanted to make sure they not only got all the bugs out, but it was a couple of years past all the bugs were out. And by doing so, is allowing me once again to be completely remote and using the building for other opportunities, of course, while still having a business, or let's say a satellite office. That's a great thing. People don't have to schlep there anymore. And I don't have to worry about servers, switches, dialers, batteries, spikes, you name it going wrong, or the internet guy handling it, but needing to call in a specialist and the downtime. No more. That's done. And that to me is a huge sigh of relief. And so once again, it's going to make companies 1,000 more times proficient. That you lose clients on downtime, you lose money on it, the morale, just the whole rhythm of a company gets crushed. And then you start second guessing people in their departments, and you should eliminate any sort of things like that. A lot of the agents have their own equipment. Naturally, we have to put in certain, they may have to take one of our computers or have something in the system through a VPN or another sort of program to allow them to use their laptops or computers to make sure it's PCI or other sort of compliant. But I tell you, the English is fantastic. The skill set, the typing speed is increased. I've noticed that people from my generation are still looking for work, but they need to catch up, not on the technology. It's really just in regards to speed. They need to click things a little quicker, but with the gray hairs, they have the experience. So if you can give them something cool, like a right field picking daisy sort of account, they're the greatest. They're the greatest. They're not going anywhere. And that's it, my man. That's the kind of things I see, but we do compete globally. So of course, India and the Philippines, they would crush me in their rates. And then why Costa Rica had an advantage, but because of our proximity to the United States. I'm just a couple hours from Miami. We're on mountain time zone, huge expat community. A lot of people lived in the States or know people. Neutral English accent, only democratic society, great infrastructure. It was all there. The potion was there. It's just a need to be put together to do this, but what a fun run.
That's great. I'm glad you realize the cost of downtime. I sometimes think I'm speaking until I'm blue in the face about how much downtime can you afford to my clients and future clients. It's a delicate balance between downtime and budget, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time today, Richard. For listeners who are inspired by your journey, what's one key takeaway you'd like them to remember about Costa Rica Call Center, about Richard Blank?
Just to let you know, I went slow and steady. I paid for everything in cash. I started out by renting a turnkey station at a blended call center. And I did that for 2 years till I had a little bit of cash in the book of business. Then I rented space. And since my industry has an attrition with not only personnel, but companies, I was picking up used equipment and furniture for a fraction of the import and up costs. So I did that for 6 years. Then we purchased a building right near the universities and the aduanas and the hospital. and put on a third floor and made it art deco with neon lights and vaulted ceilings. I made it nice and cool. And we've been there. And if you're in it for the long game, take your time. Be proud of your first downs. Doesn't always have to be touchdowns. And the last bit of advice, and it's easier said than done, Bo, is just not to be hard on yourself. At the end of the day, regardless of the outcome, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and have that respect. If you have the discipline, make your bed in the morning. But it's those that walk in silence. It's not a death march. It's sometimes a forced march. You know what it takes to train for a boxing match or 80 hours a week to start a business. And with every single naysayer and great believer out there saying, what are you doing? No one's been a Spanish major. No one's going to move abroad. Who starts call centers? Man, come on, man. You got to walk across the dance floor and ask your princess to dance. That's how you become a champ. That's how you live a good life. And so these aren't selfish decisions. These were destiny decisions. These were things that I had backed up my passion in life. And the worst thing you could ever do, Bo, is to extinguish and put out any spark that somebody has. And so to me, I guess it was more of just a shiny object. People thought it was interesting and said, go, Richard, go. But most people didn't have a blueprint or any sort of guidance in what got me to where I am today. So sometimes my amazing audience, you should just carve your own path. You use examples from others. Be a pioneer. Have the guts. You die in 100 years. What are you going to do? Besides being on my man Bo's show,
that's right.
You got to do something to get on the show. Just get out there and make it happen. And I can't wait to hear your stories and adventures from your audience.
That's a great book that you hearing what you just said reminds me. It's called The Gap and the Gain. Have you ever read that book?
No, but I'm definitely going to check it out.
Pick that one up. It talks about living in the gain instead of the gap. Everybody likes to live in the gap and see, reflect on the goals that we set and how far we are from them, instead of realizing all of the accomplishments that we've been through when we first set that goal. Yeah, really great stuff. Really appreciate that. So
thanks, Bo.
Quick, wrap it up here. How can our audience learn more about Costa Rica's call center? How can they stay updated on your latest projects?
Check out CostaRicasCallCenter.com. Some of the latest projects, I hired the bassist Gary Beers from INXS to play on a song that I produced here in Costa Rica, Shine Like the Sun. Check it out. And I also produced a rap freestyle breakdance video at the call center too, because as once again, I grew up in the 80s, so you got to have things like that.
Oh, that's great. Those are all up on the website?
On YouTube, yeah.
YouTube. All right, great. I'm going to go pull. I missed those in my research, but I'm definitely going to go pull those up. Look, Richard, I really enjoyed having you on the show. Appreciate your time. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bo.
This is Bo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bridging Success Podcast. If you are a successful business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.bridgenetllc.com to sign up. If something in this episode connected with you, would you mind sharing it on social media? Just take a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or share it on your favorite social media platform. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media with the hashtag #BridgingSuccess and let them know about the show. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, and reviews, they go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, bridgenetllc.com, or follow me on LinkedIn. Find me on Facebook at /BJakins or on Instagram at BoJakins. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.